you can choose to live a life that you are called to live. And that's my message. That's what actually transitioned me from going to what I was doing, just a normal everyday, and be like, hey, I can make a difference.
Welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Ever wondered what it takes to truly transform your life? Today, you're going to find out as we're joined by the incredible Brooke Nicole, TEDx speaker, best-selling author, health educator, and devoted mom. She takes us on a journey through a pivotal moment when she bravely forgave her father, a decision that not only changed her future, but also unlocked a new world of possibilities. As we explore her story, we'll delve into the concept of regenerative self-care, what it means, how it's done, and why it's essential for our happiness. If you're wanting to transform your life too, then this episode is for you. Brooke, thank you so much for hopping on today. I'm really excited to have you here, especially because yesterday I had no idea until the day of, but yesterday was International Self-Care Day, and self-care is what you're all about. So thank you so much for hopping on today and giving us a little taste of what self-care on a daily basis looks like.
Yes, and I just want to say it's an honor to be here. I mean, to be honest, just in the short time I've known you, you have just blown me out of the water with how you deal with things and how you put things together. So it's an honor to be here with you, Megan. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're making me blush over here. Thank you so much for the kind words. This is supposed to be about you.
Well, we have to give credit where credit is due. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
I appreciate it. Well, Brooke, you are someone that I've been really looking forward to chat with because you are really the jack of all trades here. You are a TEDx speaker, you're a best-selling author, a health educator, a mom, and also you also are a triathlete, which I think is absolutely incredible. So I would love to just learn a little bit more about who you are. There's a quote on your website that you like to live every day to its fullest and smile big while you still have teeth. So I'd love to just learn a little bit about just kind of what encompasses Brooke today.
Yes. You know, it's funny thing how you brought that up. And that quote has superficial meaning and deep underlying meaning. So basically, yes, I love and I do my best to live out that quote because I love my teeth. I'm sorry. I love a clean mouth because to be honest, I love blood. In my previous life, I was a phlebotomist. I would travel, go to different homes and do a whole biometric screening because through the blood and through the mouth, you can tell how healthy someone was. And for me, being someone who loves health in all of its realms, I just gravitate towards having healthy blood and having healthy teeth. So that's the superficial meaning of, you know, hey, if you have a beautiful smile, smile while you have it, right? And yeah, just the underlying meaning is being faithful in the small little things, because you don't know when tomorrow you may not be here, and just grabbing what you have and enjoying every moment. And why, even if it's a hardship, just smile through it because this is your life that you're given, and do it with all heartedness. So that's why that's actually the full encapsulation of how I live and yeah, why I started my business.
What an absolutely wonderful way to live, living every single day like it's the fullest. Because like you said, we don't know, our time is not guaranteed. We don't know what tomorrow brings. So all we have is today. And I think that's just such a beautiful, really way to live by. And I personally agree that smiling is such a wonderful thing. Everyone has a beautiful smile, in my opinion. And I think the more we smile, it produces a certain hormone. It makes us happier. It makes other people happier when you smile at them. And it's interesting that you were a phlebotomist in your past life. I have definitely been to my fair share of phlebotomists this year as a pregnant woman. So I have had lots of people poking and prodding me more than I ever had in my entire life. So I respect that you like blood, but I do not.
Yeah, it's you either love it or hate it. And I'm sorry, I love it. Instead of looking at people's faces, I always check out their veins, you know?
Oh Well, I do have good veins, so you would probably like me as a patient. So I've been told. If you don't mind, I'd love to just dive a little bit further into your journey as a phlebotomist, because I really think that people's past help really dictate the future.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I actually, again, like I mentioned, I love anything health. Actually, growing up, we were in and out of the hospital a lot because of my dad's health, not by his own choice. He actually had an industrial accident, which caused him to go deaf and took out a lot of his intestines. And so he was in chronic pain a lot. So we were in and out of the hospital, and many times we'd come home, he'd be unconscious on the floor. And so just, you know, having that instance, you know, urgency to always be there to help and to, you know, be interested in how can we make the situation better, and not only physically, but also personally in our own personal health. So I think from the beginning, I've had and just a desire to have an interest in health. And then growing up and just in my own personal education, learning that blood, you can actually tell the health or unhealthfulness of a person. And so that's what started the whole thing of blood. And then by being able to see the results, then you can specifically address, you know, hey, this is what's the problem, this is how you can help it, rather than, you know, blankly saying, oh, you don't feel well, we'll drink more water, you know, or eat more vegetables, you know, but you can specifically cater to the individual needs. So that's what actually got me into phlebotomy. And that's why I loved it so much, because not only the joy of having someone being able to take someone's blood and not them even feeling it was ultimate pleasure for me, but to be able to say, hey, after the results, this is what can be done and you can live a better life from it. So that's just, I guess, what catapulted me into that life.
That's so fascinating. I'm so sorry that your father had to go through that industrial trauma and really kind of suffered through so much medical issues throughout his life. But it sounds like it allowed you to really find something that you were passionate about, and that's really health and wellness. So you had this time as the phlebotomist, and you were being able to take the blood and really identify kind of the underlying health issues, whether or not a person was healthy or not, and really help them figure out a solution to some of these health-related problems through their blood. So how did that, your experience in phlebotomy, really transition into you actually starting your own business that is centered around health and wellness?
Well, that's actually a series of events. So going from the beginning, my whole dad situation, I actually walked in on him when he was attempting suicide. And from that, you know, all my life, I was trying to fill that need to care for myself, you know, to go through the trauma of seeing that, you know, because of his pain. Just going through many, you know, different like binges, relationships, you know, trying to fill so many things, and nothing worked. It was only temporary. And then I would just get so frustrated. And so just through that whole journey and through the transition of being pregnant, I realized the life that I had, I didn't want that to be transferred over to my kids, because I had a lot of anger and, you know, unforgiveness towards my dad. And even when he was on his deathbed, I didn't forgive him. And so just the whole transition and me going through the whole process of actually forgiving him 7 years after he died, you know, why did it take that long, you know, and just trying to provide that wellness journey for others and to show that, hey, it is possible. So that event when I was little actually was able to allow me to go through this wellness journey and now provide that same life that others can have, no matter what their story is, because everyone has a story. You know, it may not be as traumatic as mine, or it may be even worse, whatever it is. But yeah, you can choose to live a life that you are called to live. And that's my message. That's what actually transitioned me from going to what I was doing, just a normal everyday, and be like, hey, I can make a difference.
Wow. What a story that is too. I can't imagine what that would have been like to walk into a situation like that. I can't even imagine what you were feeling in that moment, but also the feelings that you had to live with. A huge part about health is also like emotional health. And I think when you bottle things in, I've really experienced this firsthand that a lot of health related issues can really stem up from bottling your emotions in. So I'm curious, just on the topic of forgiveness, like how were you able to work through that forgiveness in order to really make sure that you were bettering the health of your own body, essentially?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually go through my whole forgiveness journey in my book. But just to briefly share, one of the main things that helped me to actually forgive is not only putting his shoes and understanding his position, but to replace every negative thought with a positive one. Because a lot of times, if something negative happens, you only focus on the negative rather than expounding on the positive that was there. And so even with the little positive that was there, man, I kept on digging, and more positive would pop up. And eventually, again, it took me 7 years when I realized, hey, my dad is dead and I cannot live like this anymore. And it took that long period of time to replace those negative thoughts, those negative emotions with a positive one. But it's possible. You can do it. And my goal is to help others not take as long as I did, but to show that it is possible. So yeah, again, there's many steps, but one of the main steps is just to replace negative thoughts and emotions with a positive memory and just expound on that.
I love that because I think it's sometimes just human nature to sometimes get drawn to the negative, but to be aware of the emotions that we're feeling and really work to find that positive, like you're speaking with, because we are what we think and our brain is so powerful. So if we're able to reprogram our thinking and replace that negative thoughts with positive thoughts, that's really where you see the transformation. And that's where you're really able to change your life, which clearly you did.
Yes. And you know what? I give all glory to God because you cannot, and I could not have done it on my own, but I had to acknowledge and saying, I need help and I want to change. And that's the only thing that we have the power over. That's, you know, the title of my book, The Power Lies in You, because no one can change you. You have to decide, hey, I want to change and I want to be something better, someone better. I want to make a change. And you can only do that. And then you realize, hey, I need help. How do I begin? And my help was first through God and then through close connections and just getting involved.
And I think that is a testament to how strong you are of a human to recognize your needs and to be okay asking for help. So I guess when was that moment when you realized that, you know, that you didn't want to live the way that you were living anymore and that you really did want to take on a more positive outlook in life?
I'm laughing because it's actually a funny story and I laugh every day when I think about this, but I'm so thankful for it. So I was actually pregnant. I think I was the same amount of weeks as you are, about 32 weeks pregnant. And I had just quit my traveling phlebotomy because I realized if I'm having a kid, I want to take full responsibility. I don't want to give my kid to someone else to take care of them. I choose to have a kid and I'm going to take care of them. So I was just at home and I was realizing I was involved in something, I don't remember. And I was thirsty, like you know, you're pregnant, you want to drink water. So I'm going into the kitchen. And then next thing I realize I'm on the floor and I wake up and I'm like, what am I doing here? And then I realized that as I was going into the kitchen, I must've knocked my head. I don't know. I don't realize what happened. All I know is that what I was doing before, I was thinking about my dad and how I felt and all of those feelings and emotions. And it just covered everything that was in front of me at that moment. Before I got up, I was like, of course, I made sure I was okay. I was like, is the baby okay? Am I okay? I took my pulse and everything. And then I realized I can't live like this. I cannot, you know, if I'm running into walls because I'm thinking about something else, it's not healthy. And so that was actually the pivotal moment where I said, this has to stop, not only for me, but for my kids' sake, because yeah, if I don't have forgiveness, then it'll live out in my kid's life. And then they have to deal with it and so on and so on. And so that was actually the pivotal moment from the incident growing up where, yeah, I was like, it has to stop.
Well, and isn't motherhood such a powerful thing in itself? Because there's one thing to be able to do it for you, but now you had this other being that was about to be coming into your life that you also had to take into consideration. And you wanted to make sure that she was set up for success and that she was healthy and that she could only be healthy if you were healthy. So it's such like this full circle moment and just shows you how powerful just motherhood really is, because you were no longer just doing it for yourself, but you were also doing it for her.
Exactly. From that moment, I realized everything we do needs to be regenerative. I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary, The Big Little Farm in Southern California. What they did is incredible. They basically took the concept of regenerative farming and they took this dead land that, you know, no agriculture could survive there. And now it's a thriving garden. It's a business and it's just beautiful. And instead of focusing on there's pests, we need to, you know, just kill it. They actually use the natural environment. They use ducks to kill the snails off of the tree. They use what's around. They use one to help another. And then they use that to help what was originally needed. And so this regenerative cycle, like you mentioned with kids, you know, you're now thinking about someone else, but yet while you're doing that, you're actually helping yourself in the process. You said it exactly. When having kids and knowing that there's someone else that is needing your care, assistance, whatever it is. Yeah, that's what triggered the regenerative cycle and mindset. And it was from that moment where, yeah, I began to thrive.
And you are absolutely thriving. You're no longer just helping yourself and your children, but you're also helping highly driven women fill their own cups so that way they can really love better by mastering their mind and energy and actions through, like you said, regenerative self-care. So I know that you said that that pivotal moment was when you're walking in the kitchen and you fell. At what point did you decide that after having your child that you really wanted to expand your helping hand out there and really help other women with regenerative self-care?
This is actually one thing I do recommend to everyone too, is I never sit still. And a key to any type of, you know, depression or anxiety, or whatever, is when you're not doing anything. So even though I had quit my job, I went on to get my master's. And so I was studying online while I was pregnant. Then 2 years after my kid was born, then when I was pregnant with my second, that's when I graduated. But in that learning process through my master's, that's when I started to realize, you know, hey, there's so much gold in just living simply, living where you can protect the environment, you know, to help the future generations. And there's so much gold in taking care of yourself, making sure that what you put on your skin, your hair, is not only affecting you, but what is used inside that's healthy for you. And so it was just actually through that where I was able to realize that, hey, you can actually do a hobby and keep on learning. And then from there, being able to help others and help yourself at the same time.
I've personally found that that's like the best way to get started with anything is really finding a passion, something that lights you up inside that you just cannot get enough of and you can't stop talking about, because that's something that you just want to wake up every single day and spread the word and really help other people understand the transformation that you've gone through and what it could look like for them as well. So you had this master's program. You're obviously lighting up inside. You had this, you had mentioned about like living a little bit more simply, like really being aware of the products that you're using, the things that you're consuming. How did you take all of these new passions and learnings and apply that into a business?
Yeah, actually, when I first started, my natural passion is I would make natural lotions and, you know, hair products and skincare products. And then I loved doing that. But then I realized I don't want to do this for business, you know? So I kind of stopped that. And then, yeah, it just blossomed into just living a lifestyle and sharing that lifestyle with women and moms and professionals who are wanting to actually live a life where they can be fulfilled themselves while also leaving a legacy for those around them.
That's beautiful. I have to ask though, what was it about the making the lotions that you just decided that that was not the business that you wanted?
It just was messy, you know, the way that, like with the soaps and stuff, you had to do a lot of boiling, and which I actually still do for myself personally, but to do on a large scale, I was like, it just involves too many steps, and I would rather just enjoy it rather than I don't want to hate it one day. So
I think that's really important when someone's starting a business to be able to identify, even though you really enjoy it and it's something that you personally use and you like, it might not be something that you really want to scale. And the fact that you were able to identify that really early on probably saved you a lot of time and heartache and tears along the way as well, because sometimes you just don't want to force something that isn't meant to be, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So now you're really helping these women. So how are you really helping them fill their own cups here and really pass on that legacy like you were talking about?
It's basically, you know, I don't do any work. And that's the most beautiful thing. I have everything laid out. I have all the tools and resources. But the beautiful thing is when these women actually decide and to make a change. The reason why I started my business is because I do a lot of nonprofit work in the community. I've led out in many health programs, kids health expos, and I've done plenty of lectures for the community. I've seen multiple changes throughout a period of time in people's lives. And then that's when I realized, yeah, to be able to have this accessible to the highly professional who may not, you know, see the need, but yet they're just as susceptible and maybe hide it more than the average person. I don't know, but to having that accessible.
And you mentioned a really key word there. You said that these women have to decide that they're ready to make a change. And I think that the word decide and having the decision to do something, I mean, you are really the outlet that's helping them experience a transformation, but you cannot force it. They really have to be ready to embrace this transformation, to be ready to be able to work with you, to be ready to fill their own cup, because you can help them, you can give them the cup, but they have to fill it themselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you mentioned that you are hosting a lot of events for the community, a lot of nonprofit work. But as far as working with these women, I know that you offer masterminds and VIP days, and there's even a service that you offer with book formatting as well. So can we just walk through some of the different ways that people could work with you if they are looking to really focus on this regenerative self-care?
Yeah, from the beginning, people always come after me, my husband specifically, you need to promote more. And I'm like, you know what? I want it there. Someone who is actually in the need will find it and they will come. And to me, that is the most successful, because I get the women who are actually in the need and need it at that moment. And so that's where it actually comes to. I actually provide whatever you're comfortable with, a group program, a mastermind, just a 4-week simple, where we can just talk about the main needs, you know, how to thrive. There's one special tip that I've actually learned through my own personal dealing with my kids that have helped me to thrive apart from everything else. And also money, you know, a lot of times money is a part of how healthy you are mentally and also physically, because it provides for our physical needs as well, as far as food and everything. So yeah, within the mastermind, I do talk about money as an aspect and how you can use it for good rather than the bad, and also how to use it to help you use and your money wisely so that you don't go into debt. And so that's a part of it too. And also I do focus a lot on nutrition in everything. I start with nutrition because when you eat well, that's, I believe, the starter point to become healthier. You think clearer. And so I always start with nutrition. So that's within the mastermind. If you want a group and, you know, setting, if you want specific, like honing down on your specific needs, where I actually give an assessment, so you know your temperament, kind of like a blood test, you know, so that you know exactly, oh, hey, this is where you may be lacking and how you can actually improve in certain areas. So that's where the VIP day comes in, where I specifically take an individual and walk through their specific needs and yeah, just guide them along that way. And the book formatting, I don't actually promote that as much, but I love book formatting. With my book, I edited it, I formatted it, I did everything all on a zero budget. And not many people can say that they can self-publish their book on a zero budget. But the only thing I did is I decided I don't feel like designing, even though I could. And so I paid for a designer, but I didn't have to. And so that was the only thing. So yes, as far as book formatting, I do that. If someone would like to write a book, I can help them along the way as far as that goes.
That's so impressive. And I really like the analogy of like the blood that you gave here for the VIP day, like really taking an analysis of where you are and how we can really customize a journey together to be able to meet your needs. And then also the mastermind, I really liked. I mean, there's a bunch of different topics there, but I like that you encompassed money into that because women, especially, I think that we have sometimes these limiting and negative beliefs surrounding money. And money, while it can't buy happiness, it can sure help. So being able to reframe the way that we think about it and really coming from an abundance mindset and knowing that money is not this evil thing. We actually need money to survive. Exactly. And if you have the money coming in, then it actually reduces a lot of the stress and anxiety and makes you a lot more comfortable. So I think that's a really great thing that you've been able to encompass in your mastermind program specifically.
Yes, for sure. I mean, you know, a lot of times you may feel guilt to be like, I don't have money, but I really want that dress. You know, it's like, okay, if you have a budget for that and you've saved up for it, go out and splurge. You know, I mean, hey, you've worked for that. Like you said, it's a hindering thing to a lot of people, and it's guilt when you use it in a way, but yet you can use it so powerfully. I mean, money is not an evil word. It's a very beautiful and powerful word. And so, yeah.
I know that you do a lot of nonprofit work with the abundance of money too. It actually allows you to give back and to help other people too. Mm-hmm. So I think that in itself is like, if you have this abundance of money and you don't know what to do with it, being able to use it for social good, that's a really wonderful way to do it. And it really can help with, I mean, you talked about leaving a legacy, like leaving a little bit of your legacy behind through donations and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so self-care is a big topic of yours. So I'm curious, like when people think of self-care, they immediately think of, oh, I'm going to go to the spa and get a massage. I'm going to put on a face mask. I'm going to go get my hair done or maybe get my nails done. And while those are forms of self-care, self-care is a much broader topic than just what we naturally associate self-care to be. So I'm curious just to get a better understanding of like, what does self-care mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you've heard the slogan, self-care is not selfish. And, you know, I believe in that wholeheartedly, but I like to take it to the next level because you can actually make self-care selfish. And that's why I want to transition that to the regenerative, whereas I have my own time. Whenever I wake up, I always take 30 minutes to an hour just to take deep breaths, you know, do any type of reading, meditation, whatever it is, just to ground myself for the day so that I am filled personally. And then my type of self-care is showing and sharing and just like giving everything that I got in the morning to others around and seeing them blossom and then seeing them give, and the ripple keeps on going. I think ultimately that is the truest kind of self-care, and that's regenerative. You're using one to help another. And, you know, the sweetest thing, even this morning, my daughter knows that I wake up, I drink my warm lemon water, and then I just have time just to read and, you know, to do my own thing. She comes this morning saying, Mama, here's this warm lemon water. And I hear this, you know, her little tinkling of the glass bringing it in. She's like, is today your interview? I wanted to make sure that everything is just right for you. And so, you know, that is the truest kind of self-care, because anything I can do on my own personally, a massage, face mask, whatever it is, cannot compare to that feeling, knowing that I'm so not, you know, the best person, but yet I'm able to leave something for someone else to do good. That to me is a true definition of self-care. And that's what I want others to live.
Oh, that just melted my heart. The story about your daughter bringing you your warm lemon water. And fun fact about me too, is that's my morning beverage as well. I haven't met too many people that go straight for the warm lemon water. Most people, it's the cup of coffee. So it's nice to meet a fellow warm lemon watery person like me. Something that I was thinking about as you were talking about that, and I know you're all about kind of keeping your cup full. And it's a really great analogy, because if you're not able to really fill up your cup and drink, then you just become dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And when you're dehydrated, you have nothing to give. So it's one of those things that you have to keep giving yourself water to be able to make sure that you're fully hydrated, to be able to make sure that way, then you can then help fill your daughter's cup. You can help fill your son's cup, your husband's cup. And I mean, all of these wonderful, beautiful women that you work with, they wouldn't be able to have their cup filled by working with you if you're not filling your cup first. So I agree with you that self-care is not selfish, but you actually should make it selfish because you can't help others until you help yourself. Mm-hmm. So I really like that message.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, very true. And, you know, this little side note too, the Health Happiness Digest actually did a study several years ago, and the happiest people were actually those that helped others. And it's a known fact where it not only helps your depression, it not only helps the other person, but overall, yeah, the community at large is benefited in a positive way.
And I feel that so deeply because since starting this podcast, I mean, I didn't come in with it with a financial gain. So other than learning and connecting with other women, it was really to be able to share their stories and promote their businesses. And I have to say that this fills my cup so much. I feel like I'm being selfish because I'm getting so much out of this, but I also like, it's not really for me. It's for other people. But like I said, I'm getting so much out of this. So I do feel like it's a little bit of that selfish component just because I'm having so much fun. It's amazing.
Yes, it's so true. And the cycle will come back to you. So you will be blessed in many more ways than you can even know. As I said from the beginning, like I'm just blown away at how you've just put everything together. You have a gift. You will be definitely blessed by what you're doing. So
you are so sweet. And honestly, it's one of those things where I'm sure you're the same way, but if I can just impact one person in this world, if I can help one person, then that's a success to me. If one person can hear my story, if one person can hear a story from a podcast that I share and their life is forever changed, then I feel like I've done something good in this world.
Yes, very true. Very true.
But going back to you, you are just such a powerhouse woman. I know you obviously centered your business around this topic of self-care. So with that, you had mentioned and alluded to your book that you self-published, The Power Lies in You, An Epic Guide to Regenerative Self-Care. So I'd love to dive a little bit into that. And then that'll also take us into your TEDx talk.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, to be honest, I never thought that I would become a writer, nor did I even have a desire or an inkling to become a writer. Not once. But all of this happened, you know, after having kids, like my paradigm just totally shifted. And I realized that I can talk to my kids. I can teach them, you know, traits and industries and build up their character for good. But that is a legacy in itself. But then I started realizing, what about words? If I can write words down, they are forever living. And that's what actually started the journey of me wanting to write a book. Then I realized, well, maybe all from my story, just write and just share. If you actually read the book, you know, this was years ago. It's kind of blotchy in my opinion, but you know, you have to start somewhere. And I think that's the also beautiful thing of entrepreneurship is if you have a desire, if you have a burden upon your heart, just go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter how messy it is. And, you know, back then, like I said, I did it on a zero budget because I wasn't working. And, you know, my husband, he's in the ministry. And so there wasn't much finances coming in, but I wanted to leave a legacy. And from that, yeah, it just catapulted to one thing to another. And anyone who is a book writer knows that unless you do extra, extra work, you don't make much money from a book. So my intention for the book was, yeah, okay, if I can get some, I will be happy. But that wasn't my intention. The intention was to leave a legacy. And another cute thing is when my book was published, my kids actually still have it on their nightstand. And every now and then they say, Mom, I use your book, you know? And so those little things, it's just, it means the world to me more than anything else.
I love that because, I mean, it really goes back to what you're saying, that pivotal moment when you were in your kitchen, when you fell, like you decided to make a life change for your daughter. And now you decided to write this book for your children to be able to leave a legacy in writing. And I mean, how amazing is it that they both have it by their beds so that way they can look at it and really be reminded of, wow, my mom went after what she wanted. She was so passionate. And like, look at the example that you're setting for your children, that you didn't let perfectionism hold you back. You had this passion and you had this desire to do something and you decided to do it messy and all. And I think that is sometimes what holds women back from getting started is that they think it has to all be perfect. They have to figure it all out. But sometimes imperfect action, even if there's little blips and blops in the holes, and like if you could go back and fine tune it, who cares? You did it and you have a book that's published. I mean, how many people can say that?
Yeah, for sure. Very true. Life is about that. And it goes back to, you know, hey, smile big while you have teeth. It doesn't matter if, you know, gnats are coming in your mouth while you're smiling, because, you know, things happen. But yeah, just enjoy the ride and just go for it.
Well, you definitely went for it. I'm curious. I know that you said when you got started, obviously you got started messy. Well, a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast are people that are wanting to kind of take the next step in their entrepreneurial journey. So like, how did you really decide that you were just going to push all of the perfectionism away and just get started and do it messy? Because I think a lot of people are struggling with that.
Right, right. I mean, I honestly believe it's my upbringing, knowing that, hey, bad things happen, but I don't want that, you know? And I think it just started from what I went through growing up and realizing that no matter what is going on, I know that I don't want this one thing. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to do the total opposite. And not everyone may be blessed by that, but from that, just grab and don't be altered if there's a no. Because yeah, I've learned over the years that especially in entrepreneurship, if you're trying to get somewhere or do something, you get a lot of no's. And I think in your entrepreneurship journey, do not be altered by no's. Take that no and run with it and say, you know what? That's just going to make me stronger for my yes, you know, and build upon that.
It almost becomes like a challenge, right? Like when you get that no, you're like, no, I'm going to turn that no into a yes. I am going to make this happen. Yeah. And it feels so powerful. Now, and also you said something like that was really interesting, because I think it relates back to what we were talking about earlier, but you just made the decision to do it. I mean, you obviously could have made a lot of excuses for not getting started, but you just decided, just like your clients do that work with you, that you wanted to make a change. So you decided just to take that action, to not let any of those no's hold you back. And you've really, like I said, been able to create something really beautiful for it. And you're being able to help so many women continue to fill their cup. And one of the ways that you've been able to help people is through doing a TEDx talk. So I'd love to better understand. I mean, this is such a, this would be a dream of mine to one day do a TEDx talk. So personally, for selfish reasons, we're going to go back to that selfish self-care, but I'd love to just really understand, like, how do you get on a TEDx stage? Like, how did you take this beautiful idea and concept and business that you've created and eventually get on that stage to be able to share this message with thousands at this point?
Again, the TEDx stage is kind of like my book. I had no inkling to do it, nor had I a desire. And I realized that, you know what? I can reach so many more people. You know, it's going to be forever available. Whereas if something happens to me, I can't continue whatever message. And so that was actually the true inspiration from that. And I cannot tell you how many no's I had from, I didn't get asked, but what I would do it the unconventional way. You know, most people would go to the TEDx website and fill out the form, right, for the speaker. But instead of that, I decided to take the curator, the coordinator, and reach them personally. Whatever contact information that they shared. And from that, I started to build connections. And one connection would say, you know, hey, I already have them filled, but I'll keep you for the next time. And eventually one of those next times got back with me, not because I had filled out the form and been like a random person, but it was because I had taken the time to build that connection. And that's why I was drawn to you initially, Megan, is because, yeah, you know, you have that same passion for connection. And I believe connection is key, especially in these times since COVID. You know, that connection was totally severed and now it's starting to build up. But yeah, there's such power in connection and being on that TEDx stage and to be able to go through the whole process. And that's something I also help women too. If they want to be on a TEDx stage, I will be their 100% support if that's what they want to do. The experience is by far, you know, one of the best for anyone to do. I would say go and do it, whether you have a desire or not.
Well, and you bring up a really interesting point, because you could have gone easily onto the website and filled out the form just like anyone else, but instead you chose to be different. You chose to reach out to develop these personal relationships. And relationships are really what sets you apart from other people when you're able to humanize the experience. And it didn't work right away. I mean, connections and relationships take time to build. Like you said, you're able to have conversations with these people and it wasn't the right time, but eventually it became the right time. And when it was, they thought of you. And that's what the power of relationships and connections do. It might not be an immediate form of gratification. It does take time, but it is time well spent. And I think that's something that you've continued to prove is that your actions have all really led you to where you are today because you have taken a different approach. You are listening to like that intuition that you have too, to do things. I know you mentioned earlier that your husband was telling you to promote things a certain way and you're like, no, they'll come to me. And yeah. I feel like that's kind of the approach that you've taken throughout this entire experience is like, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. But I'm also not just going to, like, you're not just putting it out there and wishing for things to happen. You're also doing things along the process to make it happen. Like, it wouldn't have happened if you hadn't have started your business helping these women. It wouldn't have happened if you didn't sit down and just decide to take that messy, imperfect action and write your book. Heck, I mean, it probably wouldn't have happened if you hadn't have chosen to forgive your father. So there's so many things that you've done in your life that have allowed you to attract these people and to attract these opportunities into your life. And I think that's a really huge takeaway that I've had from this conversation in general is just the decisions that you've made along the way have really helped shape and impact your entire journey.
Yes, exactly. And you know, you can actually shape whatever you just said so beautifully as being intentional. And living today as though, yeah, being faithful with what is put in front of you.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know I'm going to keep going with this because I'm totally fangirling over here, but you have another thing that you have the Offbeat Self-Care Show, which is a podcast. So people are able to really get great information from you at all different outlets at this point. So tell us a little bit more about the podcast that you have and what listeners could expect if they wanted to tune in.
Yeah, so it's just basically, as the name says, offbeat self-care, you know, approaching self-care in an unconventional way. Whereas, you know, we talked about most times self-care is like a massage or going on a vacation or the common things, but taking it in an approach as regeneratively and going through the lens through the regenerative lens. And so, yeah, if you listen, then you'll be able to apply certain things here and there, but ultimately, it's a whole.
I mean, every single thing that you've done is such a full circle. It really encompasses like everything, self-care and soul care. It's just like a regenerative experience in general here. So I have thoroughly enjoyed today's conversation. Talk about self-care. I feel like this is a form of self-care for me is having these stimulating conversations. So thank you for doing that for me today. If someone wanted to find out more about like where to work with you and where they could find out more information, give us all the places that you are present.
Yeah. So on social media, I'm mostly on LinkedIn. I am a firm believer that you take one platform and run with it. You know, having multiple avenues, yes, it's great, but I like to focus on LinkedIn. So I am on LinkedIn and that's where I make a lot of my connections. And anything and everything that I offer is on my website. So brooknicole.co.
Amazing. And something I always like to ask my guests that come on the show is what kind of advice would you have for that female entrepreneur that's really just getting started in her entrepreneurial journey?
Yes, I would just have in your mind, be a VIP, not a very important person. It's basically the V is what is your vision? You know, a lot of times, whatever happened when you were younger or even recently, you have this preconceived idea of who you are. But take the vision of who you want to become and do what you can to achieve that. And then the eyes, what is your inspiration? Who inspires you? Look at an individual, whether it is a person who's alive currently or someone who has lived an amazing legacy in the past and they're not alive anymore. Take that inspiration from that person and apply what you want from their life and keep running and living that legacy. And the key is pattern. Live your life after the pattern that you want to leave a legacy for your children, if you have, or for others who may follow you. So in anyone, I would recommend them to be a VIP, not a very important person, but adjust your vision and be inspired and to live that pattern.
Oh, that's so good. I haven't heard that one before, but I think I'm going to have to steal that. So you're VIP. So,
no worries. You can take and run with it.
Thank you. Well, Brooke, I am literally smiling from ear to ear today. And the good thing is I still have teeth too. So we're taking it back to the beginning here. So I am smiling big while I still have teeth. So thank you for such a fun conversation of really just everything soul care and living in alignment too.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, again, thank you to you for making this, you know, a platform where we can share and talk and we can just encourage each other. So you've done a beautiful and amazing job. So thank you.
In our chat with Brooke, we dove into two major game changers, forgiveness and regenerative self-care. Brooke shared a powerful moment when she forgave her father, which completely shifted her path and outlook on life. It wasn't just about moving on. It was a deep dive into growth and healing. Then we got into regenerative self-care, not just massages and facials, but nourishing our whole selves. Brooke showed us how this kind of care is key to finding genuine happiness. Remember, forgiveness frees us and self-care fuels us, both which can help you grow in your entrepreneurial journey. All right, self-starter, are you ready to be freed and fueled? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.